Hello, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Welcome home.
Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, Clubbers, it's Scott from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, it's Kathleen from DVC Clubhouse.
Welcome aboard, it's Phil from DVC Clubhouse.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Debrief Podcast brought to you by DVC Clubhouse. This is Amy, joined, as always, by my co-hosts Kathleen, Scott, and Phil. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome aboard, guys.
So I was just with Kathleen and Scott over the weekend in Disney World. Now I'm back in New Jersey. Counting the days, I think I've got only 17 days, maybe 16. I don't know. It's a pretty short countdown.
Did you feel like something was missing this weekend?
Yes, it felt like there was a very poignant absence of somebody who was constantly making fun of me, criticizing everything that I did.
Not everything, let's be fair. I mean, it was just your outfits, your activities, and your general demeanor.
Right. 95% of what I did. Yes, Phil, we missed you, but we managed to get through it.
You struggled through it. Yeah, you looked like you were really struggling.
I was struggling
Big
while I was
smiles.
Eating my No Way Jose and playing Winner Picks Dinner with Kathleen and Scott all around World Showcase. That was, you know, it was a struggle, but we got through it.
I was so incredibly jealous the entire weekend. It just pained me to see all your photos.
We had a good time. And shout out to Kathleen, who completed her longest run Disney race this weekend. She and Woo-hoo! I both did the 10K, and she did it despite the fact that she's been having some leg medical issues. She did it despite the fact that it was 92% humidity and
yes.
Felt like we were moving through pea soup.
There's no in between, is there? We have been there for races where it's 90 degrees and 95% humidity. Humidity, and we were down there for
that's what you need.
Marathon
you need 95%
weekend.
Humility to do those races.
Yeah. We were down there for marathon weekend, I think 2019, and we were in the corral. I don't remember what race it was, and I looked over at my wife and I said, "It is so cold, my butt cheeks are shivering." There's no in between for Disney races. You either freeze to death or you're just melting into the pavement.
I have only ever melted into the pavement. That has only been my experience. Even in January, February, I am constantly there for record-breaking heat and humidity. And the pictures go to show it.
I think this past January for your race, it was kind of cold.
No, it wasn't cold. It was stormy.
But in the more, it was cold, though. Like, yeah, I had a blanket.
It wasn't the humidity that you're used to, but it seems like any race that I run, I just get the thunder and the lightning.
Well, Wine and Dine wasn't so bad this year, but it still wasn't amazing.
Well, if you want it to be hot and humid, sign up for a race with me, because you're guaranteed to sweat your
White
face
cheeks.
Off. Yeah. So anyway, we will definitely have a conversation some other time about the Run Disney races. We, all four of them, have done at least one of them. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. So last week on the episode, we talked about...
This is news to us. Everybody's giving you a funny look here. What are we talking about this week, Amy?
I could have sworn that was the topic of discussion for today.
Oh, it is?
I'll second that.
Oh. Well, I thought we were talking about bucket list jobs, but you're
Either
right.
One.
Either one's fine.
You know, since we already have started talking all about these races, why not just continue the conversation?
Lean into it.
We'll circle back to the bucket list jobs next time. So anyway, it turns out this week, folks, welcome to the conversation about Run Disney.
And we'll extend the same welcome to you, Amy. Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm surprised to be here. So anyway, back to what we were talking about before I interrupted us to introduce a topic that we're not talking about. Let's get back to the Run Disney races. So Kathleen and I did the Springtime Surprise 10K on Saturday. That was the first time that I've done a race at Disney other than a half marathon. It was my, I think it was my fifth Run Disney race. And Kathleen, that was your second, right?
Yes.
And so Scott, you've done what, two?
I have done two, yes. I did a 5K was my first one, and then I did a half for marathon weekend.
And then Phil?
Trying to think back, I've done four or five. We've done marathon weekend. We've done wine and dine. I've done a 5K, a 10K, a half, another five, either four or five.
I signed up for my first Run Disney race to run a half marathon weekend in 2012, and I injured myself, so I could not run that race. I did go to Disney World for the weekend, though, and had a good time, but I did not run that race. But so the first time I actually ran a Run Disney race was in 2013. I did the marathon weekend half marathon, which is Donald themed. So I have my Donald medal, and I still have my Donald shirt that I got from that one. And then the second one that I did was the half marathon. I did one the following year, 2014. I did the Wine and Dine half marathon, and that was when the Wine and Dine half marathon was still run at nighttime. That was...
Oh, with the party afterwards?
Yeah, at Epcot. Epcot stayed open until 1 a.m. That was my favorite of all of the races. And then I've done two princess halves, and then I just did this 10K. So I guess my question to you guys is, what is the appeal for you for doing Run Disney races?
It's definitely not the wake-up time. Let's just start with
that. Oh, my God,
no. That is not the appeal.
Especially
when you're with somebody with an aggressive wake-up time. Let's talk about this.
Yes, let's talk.
I'm glad you led with that, Phil.
Let's talk about that, Scott. Why don't you tell us about that?
I think technically all Run Disney races now start at about 5 a.m. So if anybody is suggesting to get up at 11 p.m. the day before to get to the race, that is what we call aggressive. But yeah, you have to get up beyond super early to get there. And
I think that's the fun of it. It's exciting.
When you've got to do one, but let me tell you, when you have to do a race weekend with multiple races, so I have done a 5, a 10, and a half in order on 3 days, that sucks.
Well, I mean, that's a you problem.
Also,
you should have took that into consideration.
Is that what you told Scott when you told him he had to wake up at 11 p.m.? No, Scott, that's a you problem.
Yeah, I was also processing my truffle gnocchi from Trattoria still.
Dear God. You need 3 days to sleep that off.
It wasn't 11 p.m. Don't lie.
Scott was not running. So the reason why we're laughing is because the night before Kathleen and I ran the 10K, we had dinner at, as I call it, Trattoria. And Brandy from...
No, you call it Trattoria.
Oh, right. You're right. I do. I mean, I'm all... Who am,
we've converted
who even am
her.
I right now? I don't even know. I am getting the topic wrong. I'm saying the words wrong. So we were having dinner at Trattoria. And we were joined by...
Tret.
Brandy from the DVC Clubhouse Facebook group. So the four of us were having dinner. And Kathleen had mentioned a couple times to me, like, are you okay getting up really early? Because I really want to get to the front of the corral. And I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. I'm totally on board with getting up early. It's totally fine. And so we're sitting at dinner, and I said, so Kathleen, so what time do you actually, I was like, I'm trying to do some bedtime math right now. I need to figure out based on, you know, what time we're going to finish here, what time I think we're going to go to bed. I'm trying to calculate exactly how much sleep I'm going to get tonight. And so she said, well, I want to be leaving. And just for our listeners, they don't open the corrals. Like, you can't even enter the corrals until 3:45 a.m. The race, the first wave starts the race at 5 a.m. And so, and for reference, we were staying at the beach club, and the start line for the race
10 minutes away
is in the parking lot of Epcot. So we're talking about.
And what corral were you in?
D.
You were in D. So after 14,000 mini waves.
Well, hold on. So I says. So I said, as we're sitting eating our dinner.
I feel like this is a commercial, but
so
wait, there's more.
So Kathleen, what time do you want to be leaving? She's like, I want to be leaving the room by 2:30 a.m.
As we're eating dinner at 9 o'clock.
Listen,
at night.
I have something to say when you're done.
I'm sure you do. And so
it should start with I'm sorry, but okay.
So I said,
oh no, we all praised her for how prepared she is, and this is just part of that being prepared.
So I said to her, so she, you know, she said, I, you know, I'd like to leave at 2:30 because I want to get there and you know, people start lining up early. And so it was kind of like there was like a little bit of a moment of silence. Like we all kind of were quiet for a minute.
A very poignant pause as everyone tried to process what
and
just happened.
And then I said, well.
I know.
Scott, do you have something you want to say?
No, go ahead. I want you to say it because I have to give you props. Like I have to give you so much credit because this was you wanting to be mean and nasty. But you were so very nice the way that you worded this.
I didn't want to be mean and nasty. I just did not want to. I did not want to be walking out the door at 2:30.
Listen,
you just didn't want to be nice.
You wanted to come out and say that has to be the most craziest idea I've ever heard in my life.
So, yeah. So she said that, and there was like a momentary silence, and I said, "All right, well, I think that." Leaving at 2:30 is a little bit aggressive. And then Scott and Brandy started hysterically laughing.
It's just because you just worded it perfectly.
So for those who have never done a Run Disney race, understand some background here. The buses start running typically about 3:15 from the resorts. So even if you were to get up at 2:30 and leave the room, you're going to be waiting 45 minutes for the first bus to show up.
Well, we were actually driving, just to let you know, Scott was going to be driving us.
Okay, so you were even better from 10 minutes away. Then they don't open the corrals until 3:30, 3:45.
Yeah,
if they're on track, then there are mini waves every, I believe it's 5 minutes, right? Isn't it? 5 minutes between waves.
A couple of minutes.
I can't remember. But so this first, they need to release those that are running that have special needs. Then they release the front of the A corral. And these are the people that get up in the morning and run a 10K to prepare themselves for the marathon and then run a 5K after just because they didn't get enough running in.
Otherwise known as elite runners.
Elite athletes. Okay. These are the A corral people. And they will release, you know, a few thousand, 3,000 people out of that corral in mini waves. And then they open up B and they release a few thousand people in little mini waves. And then they open up C and they release a few thousand people in mini waves. And then about an hour after the race starts comes corral D, which they release in mini waves.
Right, so for just for reference, we did not cross the starting line until 5:40 a.m.
Which would be 3 hours.
Yes, after Kathleen wanted to leave the room.
We got there so early they thought we were working there.
Yeah, like SpongeBob said, 3 hours later.
Well, I have you know that when we pulled into Epcot's parking lot, There was tons of people there already.
Yeah, they're called cast members.
No.
Oh, are you working the parking lot? Okay.
There was tons of people. And let me just back up. So I wanted to leave early because I've been very nervous. So when I first signed up for this race, I was hoping to have some leg issues that I have going on fixed by now. And they're not. So I've been very nervous about it. So I've been preparing with compression socks and tape and everything that I can prepare myself with so I can finish this race, because the leg issues I'm having is vascular and it causes a lot of claudication, which causes pain within minutes of walking. Minutes. So I'm trying to prepare. So my thinking is, if I get there early enough and I get to the front of the corral, and since I'm in the second to the last corral, I need to be ahead of those balloon ladies as much as I can be. So that was my thinking. And now we did leave the room at what, 3? We got in the front of the corral, and we were the first wave of D, and I did finish. So I'm happy.
You did amazing.
And no word of a lie here. And all kidding aside, we were cheering for you. We really were. I could not have been happier to see that you finished the race, because as someone who raced a half marathon with a just awful injury I struggled through it the whole time, the relief you feel crossing that finish line and the nerves leading up to it are just, and it's such an exciting time to be there for the races. You get so pumped up and you're so excited to do it. And you've spent so much time prepping for it. So all kidding aside, truly, absolute congratulations and hats off to you, because I have been there and done that, and I know how much that means to finish the race. So,
most definitely. Thank you very much.
I was not trying to not be mean. I was actually trying.
I know.
I was trying to, because I thought that it was a little aggressive to leave that early, because we would have, because the issue is that once you get there, there's nowhere to really sit. So you're either standing or you're sitting on the floor. Mm-hmm. And both of those things suck. So, you know, I felt like I needed to kind of let you feel a little bit more comfortable about that. If we leave at 3, we'll still have plenty of time to get to the front. Like 2:30 was early. Like we would have been, you know, kind of lurking. So I was trying to phrase it nicely in a way wasn't going to make you feel like that, was still trying to respect the fact that you were nervous. I knew that you were nervous.
We had gone to bed kind of late.
And if it was anybody else, I probably would have been a little offended by it. But
Why was she looking at you right in the eye, Scott, when she said that?
She knows.
Since it was you, I was not offended at all. I thought it was funny because I know it's a little bit ridiculous. But me being me, I'm always somewhere early. I always get up early. And to me, it's...
Somebody's alarm still went off at 2:00 because I had just adjusted to the fact that they had brought in a Boeing 747 into our studio. And I think I had just nodded off 15 minutes before that.
My alarm went off at 2:00. I had to get up and get ready and put my contacts in.
So for anybody who is listening to this, who is not on our Facebook group, first of all, you definitely should, because it's, even if you're not a DVC member, do not let the name DVC Clubhouse make you feel like you can't become a member of the Facebook group. You absolutely can, and you should, because it's ridiculous. And as Scott shared the room. So Kathleen and Scott, due to extenuating circumstances where Kathleen and Scott's room that they were supposed to stay in was no longer available, I invited them to stay in my room so that they could stay on property instead of having to stay at their house and drive 30 minutes and leave their house at 1 a.m. And so they stayed in my studio with me. But it was hot. It was like really hot. And I'm wondering if it had something to do with the fact that like earlier the hallway was pitch black and maybe they were having some like issues with power. I don't know. The room was hot. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to sleep. So because one of the members of the group, Gina, she always talks about how she requests a box fan to be brought to her room, no matter where she's staying. So I called housekeeping. 35 minutes after I placed the call, they show up with a box fan that was the loudest thing like I've ever heard in my entire life. It sounded like literally like a jet engine had been turned on when I turned that thing on. And so when Kathleen's alarm goes off at 2 a.m., I didn't even hear it. I did not hear her alarm at all because, to Scott's point, it was like all you could hear was this loud roar of this box fan.
I don't know how I heard my alarm, but I did.
I never went to sleep because I was so cold.
I thought it felt good. And I can sleep through a train.
I told Amy at 12:30 I was in the fetal position. I was whispering to you. I didn't think I was going to make it through the night because it was so cold in there.
And meanwhile, I was like sweating.
I can't feel my toes.
So anyway, yeah. So we
reminds me of Christmas Vacation. It's all part of the experience, yeah. Honey.
Exactly.
Yes.
So anyway, we got up. So Kathleen got up at 2. I think I got up at like 2:20, and we were out of the room by 3, lined up. You know, we had to line up at the, but because we got there before they opened the corral, so we were at the very front of the line, and then when they opened up the main barricade, we were able to go that down and then line up in our in Corral D at the very front. So we were the first wave of Corral D.
There was a lot of people there, though, before we got there.
Mm-hmm.
There was.
Did you guys make any stops during the race for character stops or photos or anything like that?
I wasn't taking any chances. I didn't, you know, I have no idea where those balloon ladies were. I didn't look back, not once. I just kept on going. I took a few pictures and like a selfie, but I didn't stop.
Yeah, I didn't stop. The lines for characters were so
long
and so much longer than I have even seen them during the half marathons. And I don't know if it's...
Wine and Dine was the same way. They were miles long and we were taking mm-hmm. our time. It was a non-timed 5K. We just did it for fun. I said, I'm not waiting in those lines. I don't care who's at the end. There had to be 200 people waiting for every character.
Well, I feel like, you know, having done the only half marathons, I feel like during the half marathon, it's a lot of like the big characters that you see all the time. The 10K was a lot of obscure characters. So I feel like, you know, and a lot of people do the challenge where they run all the races. So I feel like a lot of people who are running the half marathon might not be waiting on as many lines during the half marathon, but because they are, you know, endurance runners, they can, a 10K is not that much for them. And because they are obscure characters, they wait in line for those characters. Cause I mean, I couldn't get over the length of those lines. They were outrageous. So
the first character that I saw was Little John from Robin Hood.
And I was just going to say,
I took a picture of it and I sent it to Scott and I said, sorry, babe, can't stop.
That was when I did my half. That was the only character that I stopped for. Robin Hood was actually there. And everybody knows my love for Robin Hood. And that line was at least 30 minutes just for one character. But that was one that I had to get.
I think the half, the 10, you know, they're timed. You've got the balloon ladies behind you for a lot of the longer races. I noticed that the character lines in the fives always seem to be excruciatingly long because those are untimed races. So everyone does not care how long they wait for that line because they're not going to be swept up in the end.
Right. I wanted to stop for Little John for Scott, but I couldn't. I had to keep going.
For anyone who's never done it, we're referring to the balloon ladies. We should probably clue you in. So the balloon ladies are a line of people that are at the very end of the last corral who have helium-filled balloons tied into their belts to make them easily identifiable. They start behind everyone else, and I believe they maintain, a 16-minute pace is what they're keeping. And behind the balloon ladies is the dreaded bus. And if the balloon ladies pass you, then you have to get on the bus, and the bus takes you back to the start/finish line. So the aim is to stay ahead of those women trotting behind you at 16 minutes per mile with the balloons on their belt, because if they pass you, you don't finish with everybody else.
Right.
Are there balloon men?
I've never seen them, to be honest with you. I've managed to stay ahead of them in every race we've ever done, so there might be.
Well, that'll tie into our next episode of Dream Jobs. All right.
You know, we could just walk around the park. We could tie some balloons to you, make you easily identifiable, and you could pretend.
If I have helium balloons on me, you know that's not going to last long.
I'm calculating in my head how many helium balloons it's going to take to turn you into Russell.
I'm sucking that down as fast as I can and becoming a character.
So I tried to start the conversation by saying, what is appealing to you guys about the Run Disney races? And the answer was that it's not the start time. So we all agree that the start time totally sucks. Like, it's absolutely awful. It's like, I totally, and I feel like I can make this comparison because I've had two children. It's kind of like this, the phenomenon that happens with childbirth, where when you do it, you're like, this is so terrible. I hate it. It's awful. I'm never doing this again. And then shortly after the race is over, you're like, I can't wait to do this again. So what is it for you guys that makes you want to run Disney?
I think it's the excitement. I think the Run Disney community is, they're so supportive. They're uplifting. Everyone I've come across on the Facebook group has been nice and friendly. Lots of encouragement. I know on this race, I almost fell at mile 6. I tripped over something on the road and almost going down. And a guy behind me grabbed my shirt and said, are you okay? And he helped, you know, he stopped me from falling. I mean, it's just, everybody is just so friendly and nice. It's just a big accomplishment and it makes you feel really good. I definitely want to do another one. I have to get some things worked out, but I'm definitely signing up for another one. I like it. I even like the start time. I like the whole, like, going to the expo. I just love everything about it.
That's and what it I makes was you want to get. The expo is super cool.
That's yeah. what I was going to say was the expo.
You know, it makes you want to get in better shape too, you know, try to be more healthy, and it's hard, but
it's a challenge to yourself.
It is. It definitely is.
I think what I,
for me, it's,
go ahead, Scott.
I just was going to say, for me, it's everything that Kathleen just said. It's, you know, the community itself is very uplifting. The Facebook group, just being there. I think they just go the extra mile, no pun intended, but they go the extra mile to make you feel very special. I know it's expensive. I know that these races are not cheap, especially if you do a challenge. And you basically get the same thing that you would get if you raced in your local 5K. You know, you get a t-shirt and you get a medal.
That I would disagree with, and I'll talk about that when I get to my part, because I don't think that what they give you is comparable to what you get in your local races.
But I feel like it's a little bit more special, and it starts with, like what Kathleen said, with the expo. Being there, they just make you feel special about, you know, doing what you're doing. And it is, at the end of the day, it's an accomplishment. It's a challenge to yourself. I prefer the local races, something that I can just feel like a little bit more competitive with, whether I'm competing with people in my age group and there's a lot less people there, or if I can just compete with myself to get a personal best. For me, that's what I like about races. But yeah, these are, for sure, these are wonderful experiences.
I think what's great about the Run Disney races, more so than what you would probably find in your local races, is this could be a pro for some people and a con for others. But I think what's so great about it is that it really speaks to people of all fitness levels. And I think that Run Disney gives people who might be thinking about getting into running or doing races, and it kind of gives them the confidence, because I don't want to say nobody, because there's judgers and jerks everywhere, but for the most part, the Run Disney community is there to support people and to not make you feel like if you're a new runner, like you shouldn't do it. I've run a ton of local races. I've run half marathons locally, and it's a different feel, because I feel like the people in those races are all, like, they're runners. Like, these are people that are running these races because they're runners, unless maybe you do like a local, like, turkey trot where families are running together and you've got like 6-year-olds running with their parents or something. I think that Run Disney is approachable. And I mean, it's not financially approachable, but it is approachable from a place of support and feeling like you're not going to be ostracized if you're not a seasoned runner for, you know, for participating, which I think is nice for a lot of people, because, you know, you hear at the starting line, you know, at the start line of these races, the number of people who have come to Run Disney because they are huge Disney fans and they are overweight or they have some sort of diagnosis and Run Disney has become a part of their healing journey or their weight loss journey or their personal growth journey. And those stories are really inspiring. And I think that Disney wants those people to feel like this is a place where they can feel safe to pursue those, you know, pursue healing, pursue weight loss, pursue a goal that might otherwise feel out of reach for them.
Absolutely.
I think you start with, I mean, for me, and I've got a list, the lead up to the races, there is, in my mind, not a bigger group of supportive, like-minded individuals than there are in the Run Disney races. You can look at world-class marathons, and I'm sure there's groups for them, but it's very competitive. It's people who have won lotteries to get in. They're out there to make big accomplishments, whether it's the Marine Corps Marathon, Boston, London, Chicago. It's a race. This is an experience. It's an event. People will train for 5Ks for a year to go and do it. And there's a world-class marathoner in the same Facebook Run Disney group that's giving them couch potato to 5K advice on how to do it. Galloway has become huge with Run Disney to inspire people in the run walk method. And it is a full year between races where they're talking each other up and they're keeping each other accountable. They're posting their runs every day and everybody's supportive. There are huge teams that run. There's the Rocketeers, there's the Lizards. I've run with a bunch of them. There's also a huge charity component. So I did the half marathon a few years ago for St. Jude, and I actually ran it in a St. Jude singlet, which was just one of the coolest things ever to run that course for that organization. And all of my pictures have them prominently pictured right up front. And let's be honest, you're doing it in Disney. What is cooler than doing it in Disney? Some of the most indelible memories I have of all the runs I've done, and I've done a lot locally in Disney and elsewhere, I got to run under the water bridge. How cool is that at night? You get to run under the gate, the entrance gates of Magic Kingdom. In your sleep for the next month and a half, you hear, caution, runners, speed bumps ahead. I got to run through Magic Kingdom at sunrise and get my photo taken in my St. Jude singlet with the castle behind me and the sun rising. There are cast members everywhere as you're running through these parks. As you're coming through World Showcase, there are cast members from the countries out there with their flags. You've got the flag from Norway, the flag from Canada, and they're out there cheering for you, and there's cowbells. You run through Magic Kingdom, and there are cast members everywhere cheering for you. As you're coming down the road at night, you've got the monorail behind you blowing its air horn in encouragement for all the runners. That doesn't happen anywhere else, anywhere at all. The expo is awesome. It's a whole bunch of people there. You're walking into ESPN, all kinds of cool stuff. The DVC guides are there. The cast members are there. The individual sellers are there. Everyone is just there having fun. And Kathleen's right. It is so supportive throughout the course, throughout the weekend. We always wear our medals into the park after the races. I know, you know, some people kind of scoff at that, but it is so cool to walk through a park wearing 1, 2, 3, 4 medals if you're doing the challenge, getting your pictures taken with them. Everyone's congratulating each other on the medals. You've got ride photos with the medals on. And speaking of the medals, Scott said it's comparable to your local races. It's not even in the same sport, never mind the same ballpark. If I'm lucky at my local races, I'll get a long sleeve t-shirt, maybe a tech shirt. Disney gives you the long sleeve or the short sleeve tech shirt, and their medals are like no others I have ever received, with the exception of some high, high class races.
They're so heavy, the Disney races. These medals are so heavy.
We made the mistake of wearing one of ours on Dinosaur, and I thought we were going to lose teeth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Disney, there is something really magical about, to your point, about, you know, running through a park, running through Magic Kingdom. I mean, I will say, you know, this 10K was the first time that I had done something shorter than a half marathon. And I find the half marathon course to be kind of brutal because for me, you know, I'm not fast enough to finish a half marathon before the sun comes up. And that whole back half of the race for me at, from Magic Kingdom back to Epcot is just running on the highway with the sun in your face. And it is hot and humid. And that is like, to me, that's like some of the most brutal running conditions for me because most of the races I'm training for in the winter in New Jersey. So I'm running in 20 degrees. And the thing that's difficult too is that, you know, again, these races start at 5 a.m. You know, I might be crossing the start line at 5:40. And as soon as the sun comes up, the temperature rises like 20 degrees within like the blink of an eye. And you're
it's when you start seeing all the sweatpants and sweatshirts on the side of the road
exactly.
as everyone's stripping
and
down
like,
their layers.
For me, like my body is like, what the hell is happening? Like you, the temperature, like there's no adjustment period. You go from like 60 to 80 like that. And it's rough. So like and there's so much, such a long stretch of that race where there's nothing but highway. I loved the 10K because mile two, I joked, you know, with Kathleen, mile two of the 10K was like what mile 10 of the half marathon is, which is like my nemesis, because like you're on this long stretch heading towards Epcot. It's kind of like an up, you know, a little, you're on like a little bit of an upgrade. And as I was running it on mile two, I was like, I know you, I remember you, and I hate you.
Is that the spot where the army men usually hang out for the half?
Yeah.
Encouraging everyone up the hill on the overpass?
Yes. Yeah. And like and then you kind of come to like a hard turn where then you're heading into Epcot. And, you know, but so for the 10K to get that awful stretch done in mile two, and then you have 4 miles of basically running through Epcot and around the boardwalk, you know, running through guest areas is so much better than running down highway. So I really enjoyed the 10K because it just felt like it went by, each mile felt like it went by so much faster than the half marathon, because the half marathon just, you know, it drags. With the exception of the time that I did, you know, I really wish that they would bring that wine and dine marathon back, half marathon back to nighttime.
Absolutely. The demand for that would be huge because everybody wants it back.
Yeah. And I mean, because first of all, you're not up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, the entire thing is run at nighttime. So you're never dealing with the sun in your face. And you run through 3 parks. I mean, we ran all the way down to, you get that long stretch out of the way in the beginning where you're running down to Animal Kingdom. Run through Animal Kingdom, you come back, run through Hollywood Studios. And at that time, the Osborne Family Spectacles of Light was still happening. So you ran through New York Street with the lights. In fact, I was just, you know, I was feeling nostalgic about my half marathons when I was on my way home from Disney this time. And I was looking up my old pictures and I had all these selfies of myself. That's what selfies are. They're pictures of yourself. Just, it's a little redundant there.
I wasn't going to point it out.
You know, selfies running through Hollywood Studios, running through the Osborne Spectacle of Lights during that half marathon, and then ending up in Epcot, and then Epcot's open. Like it was, and at the end, they like hand you, you get a choice. You either get a beer or a glass of wine, and then you go into Epcot, and you know, it's free admission. It's not like one of these where you have to have admission. Like you finish the race, you get into the park. And that was by far and away my favorite Run Disney race. It was my fastest time. It was, even though it rained, you know, for the majority of the time, my feet felt disgusting, but it was amazing.
I'm just laughing because if you held Epcot in a glass of wine out in front of Amy, all of a sudden she had a personal best.
There was a lot about that race that made me run fast. The rain, getting to run through 3 parks. Believe it or not, I took the beer at the end of the race. I did not take the wine because we've already established.
Not the right glass.
No, definitely not the right glass.
It was in a plastic cup.
Yeah, it was one of those plastic, like, brands, you know, like, yeah, not my thing. But I had a beer, went into Epcot. It was great. I loved it. So I wish that they would bring that back.
Have you guys ever done the virtuals?
I have. Actually, I forgot that I have. I did in the summer of 2021, before Run Disney Races came back after COVID, I did the Lion King series, where if you signed up to do three 5Ks, you'd get three medals plus a challenge medal. So I did the three 5Ks. I got four Lion King medals, which were, by the way, probably some of the favorite medals that I've gotten. They're spectacular. I love them. Totally forgot about
that. We've done a few of them. Well, I brought them up because it is financially prohibitive in some cases to get down there. It's like a little mini vacation. You've got to pay for a flight if you don't live there. You have to pay for a room. There is food involved. You're paying for a Disney trip on top of some fairly expensive race fees as race fees go. So we have also done, I think, two or three virtuals. I did the most recent one that had Mickey Through the Ages. I did the one a couple of years ago where all the medals were different rides. And then the challenge was an e-ticket, which was actually kind of cool. It was a ticket book. So for those who either A, just don't want to go with that financial outlay to go down to the parks for a race, or B, aren't comfortable running in a crowd, I think they're a great entree into the Run Disney world because they're easily attainable. They're not capped out the way the regular races are. Run Disney has become almost as bad as Moonlight Magic now for trying to get in. You've got to have different browsers open and try and do it. We've been lucky enough. Most of the time we race for a charity, so we get our bibs through there. But for those who are not runners, who don't get out on a regular basis, who are not comfortable going for the trip or running in the crowd, I can't encourage that highly enough because they're beautiful medals. The community still exists. People are still talking each other through the virtual 5Ks. They're encouraging each other. And once you get that running bug, all of a sudden you want to go down and do an actual race. So I really can't recommend them highly enough.
I totally agree with you. And again, to the point of like where I promised that this was my last Run Disney race because it was the last series that I've needed to complete because I've done Marathon Weekend, Princess Half, Wine and Dine Half, and then I just did this Springtime Surprise. And I just, you know, I kind of got bit by the bug again. And I was, like I said, I was feeling nostalgic. I was looking back at my pictures. I was looking back at my race times, which are way faster than they are right now. But, you know, I kind of started feeling like, you know what? This is like a good challenge for myself. Like, is this something that I'm going to do again to try to, you know, challenge myself? And I don't know. I'm not making any promises to myself right now. But I think maybe I think maybe I spoke a little bit prematurely when I said this was my last Run Disney race. Just saying.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but you didn't really finish the entire series. Disneyland races are back.
Well, I was talking about Disney World.
I'm just saying the West Coast races are back.
Well,
you've done virtual, haven't you?
Not Disney. I've done like my iFit trainer virtual races from all over the country. And it's the same thing. They'll send you the medals like they sent the Lion King medals, but yeah, it's pretty cool to do those.
You know, the one thing when I did my Lion King virtual series, it was the summer that I went to Aulani. So I did my final 5K. I was like, I need to feel like I'm doing something at Disney. So I did my final 5K when I was at Aulani. So I felt like a little bit like I was running a Run Disney race somehow connected to Disney.
You didn't say Castaway 5K either. That one's missing from your collection.
That one is missing from my collection. And I almost did it in April when I was there, but it was so hot when the day that we pulled into Castaway, I was like, forget this. I'm not doing it. But that is also something I'll probably end up doing. But that's another run. See, that's the thing. It's like I know what that course map is, and there is like a long stretch that's like on a long stretch of blacktop, and that's why I didn't do it, because I was like, I know it's going to be brutal out there and I'm on vacation, but we'll see. You know, I've got a bunch of cruises coming up, and I think I might need to check that one off the list.
It's 3.1. You can do it.
Are we there in May? Is that where we're going in
No.
May?
We're going in August.
Castaway? No.
Oh, no, August, actually, sorry. No, actually, when we are going, we're not even going to Castaway. We're going to Lighthouse Point.
The new one.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see if they have a 5K that you can do there.
I just wondered if we could stop and make a practice, do a little practice run while we're there.
Well, you could run around the deck. You know, actually, on the cruise that I went on in November, because we didn't go to Castaway, somebody on the cruise organized a 5K and ordered medals, where basically it was like on the honor system where you had to say that like you spent a morning where you basically did the, you know, circled the deck enough times to equal a 5K and then you got a medal. I also did not do that one either.
Have you guys ever seen the Map My Runs from the cruise ships when they're circling the deck? They're running at like 19 miles per hour in one direction and two in the other direction because they're running opposite the direction of the ship. They're hilarious to see.
That's funny. So, Kathleen, you said you're definitely going to do another one. Does anybody have their sights set on something specific?
Mine is probably Wine and Dine.
Yeah, I think I'm with you with that. What's the other one that we have not done?
You haven't done Springtime or Wine and Dine. I haven't done Wine and Dine and Marathon Weekend.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to do Wine and Dine.
I had a Dopey on my list, and I was determined that I was going to do a Dopey, but unfortunately, I had an injury, a previous hockey injury, creep up the last time I was training for a marathon, and I'm not sure that marathons are in my future based on what the prognosis was, but we'll see.
I mean, and Dopeys are pretty dopey. I mean, it's called Dopey for a reason, because it's dopey.
I just, again, you know what really held me back the last time was the four straight wake-up times. So we decided to do three, and then I really regretted it afterwards, because it's like, if you're going to do three early wake-ups, you might as well do four. But those really start to catch up on you. I mean, it really is the only downside to the Run Disney races, especially if you're doing a challenge. Because by day three, you really feel like you can't enjoy the parks as much because you're so beat down and you know you have to get up early again. That detracts from it. But having done three, I then kicked myself afterwards for not doing the fourth and said, I'm going to do it again. And then I just pushed too hard through some training after that. And we'll see. The doctor has told me I'm kind of a dummy if I decide I'm doing a marathon, but it wouldn't be the first time I went against my ortho's advice.
I mean, I don't think that I really have any desire to ever do a full marathon. That is something, I don't know. That's a big commitment in terms of training that I just don't know I have the time or the willpower for.
That is the hardest part of marathoning. And I've said it before, to run a full marathon, it's not the race that kills you. It's really not. It is 6 months to a year of dedicating 4 to 5 days a week in one full weekend day of nothing but running. It is a huge time commitment far outside that of the race. The training is just absolutely brutal, and only because you're dedicating your entire life to that for a pretty substantial amount of time.
Yeah, one of the announcers at the Run Disney race this weekend said something like, basically, once you're running the race, like the race is actually the celebration of all the hard work you've done. Because if you've trained up to that point to be able to do a full marathon, you know you're going to finish. You've basically, you know, this is the culmination of like a year of dedicating yourself to, like you said, just running. I mean, it becomes kind of your personality.
It's 6 to 8 hours over a weekend day for a year. You have to give up one weekend day for a year in order to prep yourself fully for a marathon, and then all of your runs in between, and then making sure you're staying healthy. You know, I've had friends that can no longer marathon because they were running only one side of the road and developed issues because of the camber of the road and their feet, the slope. And it is a huge dedication, but you're absolutely right. When you're running that long race, you're like, yeah, I've got this. It might suck at the end, but I've got this. I've done this before. You know, I got all the way up to the mileage and then I started tapering before. Not a big deal. This is the celebration. The time commitment's just insane.
Totally. And I feel like if I were to do it and if I were to make the commitment to do something like Dopey, I would need to be going to Disney, I feel like, for 10 days get those four, get, you know, do the races at the beginning of the trip and then have the rest of the trip to just relax, recover, and take it easy. Because for me to go down there just to run those races, you're basically going there to run and sleep, run and sleep.
I think the next one for the wine and dine, I want to try and get a cabana, try to book a room at the Grand Floridian ahead of time, and then hopefully get a cabana for the last day for that race.
Yeah.
And we're done.
Well,
so we can just sit there and relax.
Yeah. As you know, that's what I did for the Princess Half last year. I got a cabana at the beach club the day before the race where I just relaxed, took it easy, because, you know, because you also don't want to be accruing, you know, 20 to 30,000 steps walking through the park the day before you do a race. So it was a good way to feel like I was doing something Disney-ish without actually exerting any energy.
Right.
Or after, I can tell you, after doing multiple races in a row, all of a sudden stairs up and down, like, you know, midway mania, just take on a whole new meaning. You can also tell the runners, because as you're coming up the speed ramp at Pirates of the Caribbean, they're all stretching out their calves on the speed ramp coming up, leaning forward. It's so easy to identify it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As we talk about it again, like, there's just so much about it that's exciting. And when you think about walking through the parks with your medal on and everyone's congratulating you, like, there's definitely, there's a runner's high that happens during the race. And there's definitely a high, you know, and it's something that you don't experience when you do your local races. Because when you do your local race, you get your medal, you go home. But when you do a race at Disney, you can wear your, you could, if you go for a whole week, you could wear your medal for a week and people will still congratulate you. And it just feels like you can celebrate and that everyone is truly happy for you and that all of your hard work is, you actually have an opportunity to celebrate it. And I've mentioned it before, after the Princess Half, we did the, I went to Akershus to go to the princess dinner. All of the princesses signed my medal. So that was like a fun thing to kind of celebrate the run with. This time we went to Cape May Cafe after the race and we had our medals on the table and, you know, nobody signed them, but the character saw them. Our server Ingrid, who was, she was not the most upbeat, friendly person. She took the, you know, like the Disney pins that say celebrating. She had three of them. She tossed, you know, she was like this tall, blonde German woman. And she tossed these pins on the table and went, congratulations. And that was it. But it was, you know, still, even in her austere way, she acknowledged us. And it, you know, it was fun and funny.
After Amy's third iced coffee that she asked for, Ingrid brought out a glass of ice and a packet of Sanka.
Two on this.
Well, Kathleen, again, our sincerest congratulations. We were super happy for you to see that you completed it. We truly were.
Thank you so much. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, I guess, Amy, we were kind of happy for you, too. But it was really all about Kathleen.
Yeah, nice job, Amy, I guess.
All right, gee, thanks.
No, it was a big accomplishment for me. Scott, you know, really is, besides myself, is the only person that knows how much of a struggle this has been for me with my legs. You know, there's times where I go for a walk in my neighborhood and I get six houses down. I'm in so much pain and I'm like, you need to come get me. So from being hurting and six houses down to finishing 6 miles is really big for me. So
I'm going to brag about my wife real quick. I'm not even going to joke. You can follow, the cool thing about those races, which I didn't know, if you're a spectator, you can follow along and you can see, you know, you can punch in the name or the bib number and see where they're at. She got the first mile down and it was like a 15-minute mile. And this girl for months has been trying to do a 16-minute mile and just couldn't do it. So when she rocked out that first mile, I'm texting her and I'm like, oh my God, like, are you okay? Like, what's going on here? And I kept telling her, like, wow. Yeah. So I was so excited to see her finish this because I knew she was going to be super excited. I tracked her the whole way till the finish line. I'm watching intently. I have my phone out. I'm ready to video it. And all of a sudden on my watch, I get a notification, babe's finished a workout. And I went,
she had finished. And I didn't, there was so many people, I didn't even see her finish. I didn't see her cross the finish line. So I felt terrible because I was going to be hooting and hollering the whole entire time. But I felt so bad. Amy, I caught all of yours on video, by the way. I got the whole thing on video.
Wave it at Mickey.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm sorry, babe. I missed.
It's okay.
You're one up on me. So the last time Emily and I went down, she did the five with me. We did the 10 together. And I went back out to do the half. And she woke up and she said, I should really wait for him at the finish line. No, I'm going back to bed. I'll see him when he gets back to the room.
No, I do have to just say, I was proud of myself this time because I didn't know if it was even going to happen because I didn't even know if I was going to make it to Disney because on Wednesday, I had a stomach virus. I was sick starting at midnight on Wednesday for 18 hours straight. It was not pretty. And I'm texting Kathleen and I was like, yeah.
I didn't know this.
I was in rough shape. And I was texting Kathleen, like, girl, she texted me, how are you feeling? And I was like, well, here's the truth. And I shared with her the terrible, scary, disgusting details. And I was better and I was able to fly the next day. But, you know, when we went to homecoming, I basically ate half a bowl of soup and sipped on some seltzer with lime and mint in it, and it was touching. What'd you say?
$6.
Yeah, I was like, can I have a seltzer with some lime juice, cucumber slices, and mint in it? And when I got my bill, they charged me $6.50 for that. They called it a virgin. They called it a virgin mocktail. I was like, good lord. But yeah, so then. It was a little touch and go, but I rebounded and was able to do it.
All right, fine. We're proud of you too, Amy.
Thanks, guys.
You did it.
No, but it was just I didn't even share that with you, Phil. Like that was something that I was like, oh my god, the timing was terrible.
Based on how you just described the icky details to Kathleen, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm glad to hear about it after the fact.
There is no bigger fear than crapping your pants in the middle of a race, I will say.
He should know.
Really?
All right, so I'll end with this. This is one of my favorite Run Disney stories. So everyone lines up.
Speaking of Run Disney.
Right.
Runs.
Everybody lines up forever before, and there's a line of porta potties, and there's a line of people trying to use them. And you get started with the race, and there's porta potties along the course. And of course, all the ladies have to use the porta potties. But if you look at all of my Run Disney races, they all track the exact same. There is one section of trees in the center of Epcot Center Boulevard where all the men go to pee every single time, every single race. We run off into this one section of trees, and this is where we relieve ourselves about a mile, mile and a half into the race. So it is middle of the night, dark as can be. All the guys peel off down to the right to go to the bathroom in the trees. And right hand to God, I'm standing there, peeing in the trees, hoping I don't get bitten by an alligator or snake. And I look to my left.
By the yellow flies that destroyed my
exactly.
feet the other
day. And to my left is a guy I know from the Army that now lives in North Carolina who happens to be running the exact same race. Haven't seen the dude in 3 years. And there we are at a Run Disney race, peeing side by side in the same section of trees. And he looks over and he says, hey, Phil, how you doing? I said, good, Jay. How you doing? He said, good. And then we both zipped up and went back on our way.
And that, my folks, is where the magic lives.
Yep.
All right, guys, we are over an hour. Any last words?
Can't wait to do it again.
And for anybody listening who's been thinking about it, you know, join the Run Disney Facebook group because I think that, you know, you'll find people there that will inspire you and make you feel like you can do it because you can.
It is. It is a group of people within a group of people. You just take all of us crazy Disney people and then you just further narrow it down to a bunch of crazy Disney people who like running inside the Disney parks. And it is truly a community within a community.
Yep.
Definitely amazing. Just don't get too aggressive with it.
Every mile is magic.
You beat me to it. I was waiting for him to take a breath before I jumped in and said the same thing. All right, guys. Well, I think that closes it out. We thank you, as always, for listening. If you get on over to Apple, give us a 5-star review, a like. We would very much appreciate it. Amy?
As I said earlier, if you don't belong to our Facebook group, DVC Clubhouse, go over there and join over there. Subscribe to DVC Clubhouse on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram. And until next time, we'll DVC you real soon.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
And so our journey comes to an end.
Oh, no, please. Can't we go back to page one and do it all over again? We
started this thing together, and that's how we finish it.
Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives.